As we talk about, last week we talked about some fun stuff. I know the weather was goofy and it was kind of one of those weird Sundays. Some of you were stuck in your driveways and you may have missed the first part of this series in Jabez as we talk about Jabez's prayer. 1 Chronicles chapter 4 is where we're looking this morning. So to kind of give you a quick update, today we're talking about the prayer of Jabez. You may have heard this before, back in the maybe the late 90s, Bruce Wilkinson wrote a book on this prayer, highlighting some of the details on this prayer. And I want to just kind of read this passage just to kind of update you, bring you back up to speed for those of you who weren't here on last Sunday because of the weather. But just to give you an update, this is what we're talking about today. This is what we talked about last week, but we're going to get into a little bit more detail this morning. 1 Chronicles, this is found in the Old Testament. This is a really interesting book of the Bible. There's 1 and 2 Chronicles, so there's two books really written on it. A lot of beautiful, beautiful history, a lot of good stuff, good lessons. And so we don't want to take away from the Old Testament when we think about our reading and our Bible study. So I encourage you to dig deep in the Old Testament. There's some amazing, amazing things found in God's Word. And this is one of those little hidden gems that we can pull out today. We're gonna exegete, meaning pull out from the scriptures. We're not gonna add anything to it. We're not gonna change anything up to it. But we say this is God's word. We're gonna pull out from it, and that's called exegete. And we're gonna learn what it has to say for us today. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9 and 10 says, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, "I gave birth to him in pain." Jabez cried out to God, cried out to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain." And God granted his request. A super, super small little prayer, a really somewhat insignificant character of the Bible, if you will. And so if you think about Jabez, he's just given like a couple of verses in the entire Bible. I mean, it's pretty interesting. As we think of this little prayer, last week we talked about what's in a name. Jabez's prayer, or his name literally meant painful. Remember we talked about his mother was like, what a great name to name your child. It's pain. You know, it's like if you were to name your kid Fool. Or, hey, here's Stupid, welcome him to the earth, right? It's kind of like, well, this is pain, welcome. This is my son. And so what does that do to you psychologically? It messes you up a little bit, right? So we talked last week a little bit about what are people calling you? What is the name that you have? What is the name that others have placed in your life and that you're accepting? Jabez accepted this name as pain. And as we hear his prayer, his pain is evident. He's saying, "God, I don't want to be a person of pain anymore. I don't want to cause people pain. I don't want to do that in people's lives. What my mom has named me has become who I am, and I'm tired of it." And we talked last week about who has named you. I'm not talking about your mom and dad because culture's a little bit different. You no longer call people of what they are or what they could become, but there's people maybe in your school, your junior high, who has called you a name and you're believing it. Maybe there's somebody in high school who has given you this persona or name and you've continued to carry it on in your adulthood and yeah, that's who I am because they said so. You see, that's not what we're talking about today. We're talking about God has given you a new name. He's called you a child of God. He's given you a new name. He has blessed us with being an heir of his, being a child of God. So we no longer have to live like that, live with that. And that's what we talked about a little bit last week. But this week I want to take a look at a little different spin on that passage of scripture. I want to look at, there's five different specific requests that Jabez had prayed in this prayer. And so just put that passage back up again, if we will. Because I think we really need to take a look at this passage. It's so small, but there's five different things, and I'm going to highlight each one. So the first one was, "God, would you bless me? Would you bless me?" You see, being blessed is that having that supernatural power working for you. right? It's asking the supernatural, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the creator of everything, to say, would you please bless me? Jabez asked for a blessing. And I love this because this was when I was reading this and studying this years ago, I remember feeling that, you know what, it's okay to ask God for things. It's okay to ask God for blessings. It's okay to be dependent on God. And that's an okay thing. Jabez wanted this power working for him in his life. And so before we continue, I want to define some terms really quick. What do I mean by the blessed life? What do I mean by blessing? You know, what does a life full of blessing look like? Well, like I said before, being blessed means having supernatural power working for you. By contrast, being cursed means having the supernatural power working against you. You see, so we can look at this word blessing a little bit differently. I'm not really talking about material blessings or not just specifically talking about being rich or having the latest and greatest. I'm not necessarily talking because we understand as Christians, being blessed means so much more. Living a blessed life by God means so much more than having the new car or having money in the bank account. Living a blessed life means so much more. It's literally saying, God, I want you, the supernatural, the one who's the creator, working for me on my behalf. That's huge. That's huge. And so there's principles, of course, to praying this kind of prayer. There's principles that are in play. And so these blessing principles I want to talk about really quick. We've got to follow the principles of life that to experience God's highest rewards. These are somewhat keys to living a blessed life. Jabez came to know that being blessed means that I have to be living right and honorable for God, as we see the very first line of the prayer, or the very first line of verse 9. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. Does that tells us something, doesn't it? Let's just not skip through that part. It tells us a little bit of the character of Jabez. Jabez was more honorable. He was somebody who was doing things right in God's sight. He was doing something right and honorable in God's sight. And so the principle, what I want to share with you this morning, is that blessing doesn't just come if you ask for it. Blessing just doesn't come if you ask for it. There are certain things that have to come into play. You know, I can't walk in front of traffic. I can't walk down the middle of the street and not expect to get whacked by a car just because I asked not to. Does that make sense? Hopefully you've never found yourself walking in the middle of the street somewhere and you simply are testing God and saying, God, I'm asking for a blessing that I don't get smacked by one of Salisbury's milk trucks. That wouldn't be in your benefit. You can't do it. You just can't do it. That's like it's absolute foolishness. Walking down the middle of the road and expect a different outcome. You know, it's the principle of blessing. If you've been a Christian for a while, you understand what I mean. But I want to talk to those of you who are maybe non-Christians in here today or maybe haven't really had that maturity of discipleship in the Christian faith, is that blessing doesn't just naturally come. It's we have to do a certain part in our lives as well. We have to do a certain part in our lives. You know, you can't sleep with your fiance and expect good sex in marriage. Let me just say it. You can't have premarital sex with your boyfriend or girlfriend, and to expect God to bless your marriage holy and clean. It doesn't work like that. You can't, you know, it's funny. I do premarital counseling, and it's hilarious, some of these people I talk to. I mean, I counsel them, and they're like, yeah, we're living together, and we're having sex, but we know God, he loves us, and he's going to bless our marriage. What? Show me that in the Bible where God blesses sin. You know, you expect we expect financial blessings. Oh, God's going to provide. God's going to bless me. God will completely take me into his care because he loves me. But where have you blessed him, and where are you honoring him in your finances? No, what are you talking about? I'm not giving anything to the church, or I don't want to tithe my, what? No. I expect God to bless me. No. You see, throughout Scripture, there is this principle of blessing. And if you look through even the Old Testament, the New Testament, you'll see that this king was honorable in God's sight. And therefore, his kingdom reigned and he ruled with success. You'll see throughout Scripture that so-and-so loved and was honorable in God's sight, and they were blessed. See, throughout Scripture, there's this interwoven theme of the principle of blessing. The prosperity gospel, as you and I both know, they're out there. You see some TV evangelists that simply say, oh, this. God wants you to be prosperous. God wants you to be rich. God wants you to have all of these luxurious things in your life because you're a Christian. That is not in the Word of God. In fact, the opposite is pretty much true. You want to be Christian, you have to take up your cross, deny yourself, and follow him. If you want to be a disciple of Jesus, you have to throw your nets away. You have to get rid of what actually makes you money and follow after Jesus in faith and thinking that you're going to be okay. We talked about that in growth group this morning, that there's a certain element of suffering that is attached to being a Christian, and that we can't throw out this cheap Christianity in the fact that, yes, raise your hand this morning if you want to be a Christian, that God will bless you. He will be everything for you. He will increase your paycheck. That's not what we're trying to sell. I joke about this, that we talked about it this morning, that if you want to be a Christian here today, you've never invited Jesus into your life, you may get divorced because of it, because your husband or wife will leave you because you're going to be a different person. In effect, if you want to be a Christian today, your children will no longer have anything to do with you because you're different. In effect, if you want to sign up today and be a Christian and raise your hand and give your life to Christ, your friends will hate you because you're different. How many people do you think we'd sign up for that? But in fact, that's the truth, is that when Jesus comes into our lives, we ask for this blessing. It's different. Jabez simply said, bless me. And he didn't say, give me a Lamborghini, give me a new bass boat. You know what I'm saying? The blessing is different. The blessing is different. And so to have a blessed life, it just simply means that you have the supernatural, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, working on you and for your behalf. And that's all we need. That's all we need. So this first part in this prayer is rooted in the thought that a believer in God can reach their full potential by being blessed by God. You're simply saying, God, I want to reach my full potential. Would you bless me? I want to reach my full potential. I want to be exactly what you've called me to be. Nothing less will do. And so understanding that blessing principle, it's all about our heart. Is that our lives, our heart needs to be honorable before God. And then the blessing comes in return. It's not a works-based, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying salvation is by works. Salvation is there. Salvation is given. But we're asking to be blessed by God and continue to live in sin. And that's wrong. We're asking to be blessed by God in our marriages or our finances, and we continue to live like everybody else. You see, God wants to bless you. It's just that we have to work out that principle. And so understanding that is this a reasonable request? You know, is this a reasonable request by God? Of course it is. Remember, he was in the right standing with God. Jabez was in right standing. He was honorable and in a right relationship. So in other words, his priorities were in the right position. God was placed number one in his life. And Jabez simply said, I want a blessing. Would you please bless me, O God? You're number one. You're number one. And that's what it's all about, first and foremost. So secondly, we have the first one. Number two, then Jabez prays this. God, will you expand my border and enlarge my territory? Some versions say enlarge my territory. So Jabez then moved from asking for a blessing from God to asking for God to specifically prosper him. I mean, it's okay to ask God for specific things. It's okay to say, God, he was simply saying, God, enlarge my borders, enlarge my territory. You know, in those days, prosperity was associated with land ownership. And so he simply said, enlarge my borders, increase what I have. Would you please increase what I have? Don't forget, he honored God first. First and foremost, he followed the biblical instruction to give his first fruits to God, his heart, his life, his tithes, his offerings. You see, that's the caveat here. He prioritized God in his daily life, doing and following his teachings for right living, to worship, to serve God regularly. He didn't allow idol worship in his life. And so we see that putting God first, then asking for the blessing is okay. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9, I don't have it on the screen before you, but Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and 10, we find this command. It says this, honor the Lord from the wealth and from your wealth and from the first of all your produce. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. We're to honor the Lord with the first fruits. Honor him with everything that we have so that the blessing will come in return. And so again, that principle of blessing comes into play. To honor the Lord, we believe and that our finances, that are everything that is his anyways, we give it unto him, and he returns that in a blessing. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says this, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24 through 29 says this, there is one who scatters and yet increases all the more, and there is one who withholds what is justly due, and yet it results only in want. The generous man will be prosperous, and he who waters will himself be watered. He who withholds grain, the people will curse him, but blessing will be on the head of him who sells it. You see, in this proverb, it's basically talking about giving, being a generous person, having that attitude of giving, so then the blessing comes in return. This is simply wisdom literature here. This is wisdom. There's one who scatters, yet increases all the more. And there is one who withholds what is justly due, and yet it results only in want. Does that make sense to somebody in here today? You withhold something, you're holding on to something, you're selfish, and yet you have it, but there's still more you want. There's still that desire for something more. There's still that desire for something greater. Guilty. Guilty. When we have this attitude of hoarding and I'm going to keep what's mine. They don't deserve it. This is mine, mine, mine. What is that feeling? It says it right in Proverbs. You didn't realize it was in the Bible what you're feeling. You're like, I still want more. I still want more. It results only in want. But the generous man will be prosperous. So understanding, again, this is a little sidebar to Jabez's prayer, understanding he was an honorable man. And he simply asked God for that blessing. Enlarge my territory, he prayed. So thirdly, he prayed and he added, God, please let your hand be on my life. Please let your hand be on my life. So we live in a world and a culture that celebrates individuality, right? This is one of those things where that celebrates it. We hear a lot about individual rights. The right to focus on ourselves first, the importance of being independent and self-sufficient. But the Bible tells us that we really need to be dependent on God for everything. So Jabez is simply saying, you know, please let your hand be with me. I need you. telling you what, I pray this on a regular basis. I really do. I use this prayer as a model in my life, in my ministry. Because what I don't want to do is I don't want to do things on my own. I don't want to, I'll mess it up completely. But if I have God's hand upon my life, that leaves me out of it. I can't take credit for it. God gets all the glory. God gets all the praise. And good things take place. And so Jabez understood that. He said, God, please put your hand upon me. I need you. I need you. Many think that God should only be a part of their lives. You know, maybe on Sunday mornings I'll focus in on God. Maybe on Sundays, and that's God's time, but the rest of the week is my time to do whatever I want to do. Whatever I have to do. I got to work, we got to, you know, family time. Those are my hours, but God can have this small portion of my day. It doesn't have to bleed over into my relationships with people, my schoolmates, my workmates. It doesn't have to. No, God's just one part. See, that's not right. God wants to be all in your lives. And Jabez prayed the same thing. God, please let your hand be with me in all that I do, all that I say. You see, I have this quote up on the screen. The second you're not feeling dependent is the second you've backed away from truly living by faith. The second you're not feeling dependent is the second you've backed away from truly living by faith. So meaning dependent on God for everything and everything and everything and everything and everything. So that moment that we're kind of feeling self-dependent on ourselves or our money, our finances, our jobs, you know what I'm talking about. That moment where we're really self-reliant is that when we're not really living by faith. Living as in you're not sure what God's going to do next. And that's a cool thing. Jabez knew that relationship with the Lord. It takes continual work. It takes maintenance on our part when we drift away from the relationship with God. Fourthly, I'm trying to hurry up through this. I'm almost done. I know there's a lot of stuff getting thrown at you today. Fourthly, Jabez continued his prayer. God, please keep me from evil. Jabez knew the needed help from the Lord to keep him from the grips of the evil one. He knew how deceptive evil was and how quickly it could get sucked into and suffer. Jabez knew how dangerous evil is. Jesus prayed this in John chapter 17, verse 15. He said this, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. Jesus was praying for us that we would be protected from evil. And you and I know what evil is. You and I know what sin is and temptation. And Jabez understood that. Please keep me from that evil. So this is, again, this is another part of the prayer that we should be praying regularly in our lives. God, help me not to fall into temptation. Sound a little familiar? Jesus taught us to pray and lead us not into. He taught us to pray that way. So again, interesting, in the Old Testament, Jabez got a hold of this through the Holy Spirit and said, God, keep me from temptation. Keep me from the evil one. That was number four. Number five that we find in the prayer of Jabez, keep me from pain. And we talked about that last week. We talked about what the pain meant in his life. Jabez had enough pain in his life. He wanted delivered from that. It was almost like he had this curse in his life. His mom decided to name him this and that he'd lived it. It was like a curse on him. And he simply said, God, keep me from pain. So he chose to live right, and in doing so, he asked God to bless him. And I love this at the end. I'm telling you what, this is where it's like we can have a celebration moment. And God granted his request. And so I'm telling you, I want to encourage us as a church, as we think of praying this prayer, this is a great prayer to live out and to pray And I'm not saying being, you don't have to use the exact same words. You don't have to be repetitive and use this meaningless words. But I have this prayer posted in my office. And I go through this prayer and saying, God, this is some of the steps that I want to pray for. Would you bless me? I pray, God, would you enlarge my territory? And I'm not asking to get more acreage. I'm not asking God for more acreage. I'm saying, God, would you bless my sphere of influence? That I would influence many thousands of people for the kingdom of God. That's my prayer. That I want to reach many more, I want to reach thousands of people for Jesus in my lifetime. Enlarge my territory, my borders. Right now, my border, like Jabez felt maybe boxed in, my border is right here in Dighton, Michigan. This is our border. And I'm saying, God, let's break through this. Let's break through these walls. Let's break through this border and help me to be an influencer for the kingdom in our surrounding areas. Help me to influence many, many more thousands of people. You see, church, you see how this prayer can be for you personally? But it also could be for our church. This could be for our church. God, would you bless us as a church? Would you bestow upon us your blessing, the supernatural power to come down in this place like we've never seen it before? Would you enlarge our territory? Would you allow us not just to reach the people in the 10-mile radius that we have? Can you just burst out those walls so that through church planting and through micro sites and different initiatives that we could just go out and meet them? See, Jesus called us to be fishers of men, right? So we actually have to fish. I was telling somebody this morning, it's like we think about when you go out fishing, you're going to try out a new lake, right? You're going to try a new lake. And you get in your boat and you're in this lake and you're like, okay, we need to catch some fish. We need to catch some fish. All right, I really hope they jump in the boat. I'm just hoping that they just jump in, right? Just come on. Hey, we're gonna even announce it. We're gonna give out flyers that we're at a new lake. We got the boat all ready. Can we just have some fish jump in the boat? It's absolutely ludicrous, isn't it, to think that? And so in church planting, it's not that we want to go to a different town or a different community and just simply say, hey, we're having a service. Come worship our God, whom you don't have a clue who it is, but we need you to worship him because you have to look like us. You have to look like us. So this is how you do. You raise your hand like this, maybe one down here. Close your eyes once in a while. And then sing. Read the words right. So you jump in the boat with us. That's called church planting. No, it's not. You see, we're asking as a church that God would enlarge our territory and enlarge our borders so that we can actually go fishing. We got to get the rods and reels out and actually fish for people. We got to get the nets out so that we can gather, we can just bring people to Jesus. And that's, we're not asking, we just can't simply say, here's our boat, come join us. Sometimes I feel like that's what we do here at this church. Doors are open, everybody. Church is at 10:30. Come to our church. Jump in our boat. Why? Well, who's going to do that? We've got to go out. And so we pray, oh God, would you enlarge our territory? Enlarge our territory. What does that look like? Is that we just reach out and we are being blessed by the supernatural. And we no longer have four walls to confine us in, but our territory is increased. And that, Lord, your hand would be with us. So that it's not Pastor Jim doing his thing or doing this. No. It's not that it's the leadership team. No, it's God's hand of blessing upon us. In everything we do, everything we say, every action we take, when we're building on an addition to the church, God, let your hand be with us. When we're adding a new church or a microsite and we're church planting, God, that your hand would be with us. when we're out and about, when we're feeding people in the food truck, and God, that your hand would be with us. That's our prayer. And here's the next one I love, because as a church, God, would you keep the evil away? Just get Satan out of here. He wants to mingle with us. He wants to get us angry with each other. He wants us bickering and arguing. And guess what? Holy cow, we're human. It'll happen. Satan, be gone in Jesus' name in our church. Let that be our prayer. Satan, just get out of here. We don't need you here in Jesus' name. You don't belong in this church. Have you ever had a church that caused pain? Have you ever had a church that caused you pain? Some of you who have been in church before, or maybe have, yeah. Churches can cause pain, whether it's the pastor, whether it's somebody in leadership, whether it's a friend. You know what? Jabez says no. God, help us to be free from pain. Help us to be a church that's free from hardship. Help us to be a church that just get rid of the painful. Let us be loving. Let us be a caring church. Let us be a church that is joyful. That we love each other. We love being around each other. I love this prayer. I could preach a little longer on this, but I need to quit. We're going too long. Because this prayer is so vital for our church. And I want to call us out. I want to call us to prayer. And as the band comes up, as we kind of close out our service, I want to call our church to prayer. And if I just said that and you heard that right now, if you heard that, that means you. You're the church. I want to call us to prayer, that we would commit to praying this prayer in your life and in the church. And so that's the call. That's the challenge for us today. Is that we would get a hold of this. I don't know what you have to do. I have to do weird things. I have to do weird things to remind myself. I have to print things out and either write it out and then post it. I have to do that because otherwise I forget. I have to put things in my cell phone. I'm sorry. I'm over 40. I realize if I don't put it in my cell phone, it doesn't get done. And so I would encourage you, let's post this. I mean, find this, BibleGateway.com. BlueLetterBible.com, and you can find it online. That there's digital forms of the Bible. That's what I'm trying to say. Print this out and stick it somewhere. That's what I had to do. I do it. It's in my office. And so during my prayer time, I from time to time, at least weekly, I'm praying this prayer over you, over me. I'm praying this prayer because it has five elements that are just beautiful. And I think God wants us to be right in his sight. So I encourage you, that's my prayer. That's my challenge today. As you've heard all of this stuff that I've said through God's word, I challenge us and I call us to prayer as a church. I'm telling you, we got a lot to do here. I'm scared. All of the things that God wants to do through this church, I'm nervous. I can't do this alone. We can't do this alone. And so, church, we need to be called to prayer so that we can invite the Holy Spirit, the supernatural one who is willing to expand our territory, enlarge our border, to have his hand be with us, to keep us from the evil one, and to bless us. Imagine that. Can we do that, church? Can we pray this prayer? I'm not saying one time. I'm not saying just once. I'm saying this the rest of this year. We need prayer. We need prayer. When God is calling us to do some crazy, crazy, huge stuff for him, we need prayer. I wouldn't be calling us to this if I felt like it was going to be all of us in this sanctuary a year from now. If it was going to be the same way, I wouldn't be calling us to this scary type of prayer. But I don't envision us all being here in this sanctuary next year during this time. God's going to do something huge, and he wants to do something for his glory, for his kingdom. And we need prayer. We need God's blessing upon our church. So I'm excited. Be excited. Be encouraged today. I tell you, to be in the will of God is no better place to be. And I want a church to be there. Let's stand together as we close. I'm calling us to prayer, calling us to seek out the prayer of Jabez. Heavenly Father, I've said enough. I want you to speak in the quiet moments of this time, and speak through the worship team. I pray that your challenge would go before us, God, to be a church of prayer. Not that we do anything to glorify ourselves, but God, we want to be a church that is being used by you in the kingdom in mighty and mega ways. So, Lord, I pray that you would allow it. You would grant your blessing upon us. We don't want to cause pain, God, to anyone. We don't want to be that church that causes pain to people who have been here before or our community members. Whatever, God, we give this to you, our church. We thank you. We thank you in Jesus' name.